Good, so good to be here. How are you all? Yeah. You're good? Need lots of interaction from you this morning. So, thanks, whoever that was. It's really cool. God's so good at this stuff, right? Friday evening, I've written my stuff that I'm going to bring to you about the fivefold ministry. And probably about 3 o'clock Saturday morning, God woke me up and said, Al, yeah, I want you to do a different message. Are you okay with that? And I went, oh, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. So he said, well, you can wait until you get up, but I want you to bring a different message. So you're all right for that? So here's the interesting thing. You're like this. I'm going to talk to you about how you can protect yourself from the enemy. And then the young lady, what's your name, love? Luann gets up and gives the testimony that is perfect for the occasion. Just a coincidence, right? We're talking yesterday, and I said, there's this song that God wants me to bring to you guys. It's called Raising an Alleluia. And Jacqueline said, wow, that's amazing, because that's the first thing I want to do this morning, is to remind people to raise an alleluia. You see, it's so important, isn't it, to realize who we are and how we can fight the battle. See, it's not a pretend battle. It's not an allegory for a battle. It's not a metaphor for a battle. It is a battle. But it's a battle that isn't against flesh and blood. It's against the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the dark areas of this world. And there's plenty of those around, right? So how many of you believe John 14:12? Put your hands up if you believe John 14:12. Would you like me to remind you what it says? I'll paraphrase it for you. You will do greater things than I, says Jesus. Do you believe that? Put your hands up if you believe it. Because only 5 years ago, I discovered that I couldn't put my hand up to that because I didn't really believe it. I thought I believed the Bible, but I didn't really believe that because I'd never seen anything even remotely like that. And then one day in London, never forget it, I was in a Church of England church in the centre of London in Holborn with Pete Carter and Danny Silk, and we're doing a mission there. And there's a girl who responds to a call for prayer. And I go up to her and I say, what's going on? She says, I've got a problem with my knee. I might have told you this last time. I don't care because it's my favourite story. So I bend down and I get hold of this lady's knee. With permission, I hasten to add. Get hold of this lady's knee and I start to pray. And as I pray, I can feel this knee moving and crunching under my hands. And she said, well, it's getting really hot. And I said, I think that's a good thing. So the knee starts to crunch under my hands. And then I say, so what's happening? She says, oh, I think, wow, it's completely cleared. And then she starts to, I won't demonstrate, she starts to pirouette around the room. And I found out later she was a ballerina in the London Opera, and she'd been out of work for 8 weeks. And she felt that she could go back to work the next day. How exciting is that? Are you feeling excited about that? Or is it because it's my story and not your story? And that's essentially the difficulty, isn't it? That there are lots of stories around. I was just telling the lady here, Jackie, about a lady walking past a church in Kent. She's from the traveller community. And she's walking past, and she said she used to walk past on a Sunday quite regularly and stop and just listen to the music. She just loved what was coming out, but didn't feel any encouragement to go in. And this one Sunday, back in January, she decided to go into the church. So she goes into the building, she sneaks in at the back and sits down, and one of the leaders is watching out, saw the door open, so he goes over and he sits next to her and he says, hi, how are you doing? So she said, I just heard the music, I love the music, is it okay if I just sit here? So this guy said, of course it is, which is always a good thing, isn't it? You know. So of course it is. And hidden under her coat is her hand. So he said, is there something going on with your hand? So she said, yeah, it's completely withered. It's I've lost the use of it. I had a stroke 3 years ago, and the use of the hand has diminished, and now it's completely gone. It's clawed up. It's all closed in a fist, and it's gone white. And the doctors are now talking about amputation. Wow. So he said, well, can I get hold of your hand and can I pray for you? So she said, yeah, okay. So he holds her white hand in his hand and she says, I can feel something. She said, I can't normally feel anybody touching that hand. I can feel something. So he said, well, that's good. Let's pray, let's pray. And he carries on praying. Long story short, this clawed hand starts to open and it goes pink. And her lead arm that she felt didn't belong to her anymore suddenly starts to recover. And she gets a partial recovery. We can't say a full recovery, but she gets a partial recovery. She was just passing by. God was on her case. Now this guy is part of my Global Legacy group, so he puts it on Facebook as this testimony. One of my guys down at Living Fire Church down in Eastbourne hears this story, reproduces it much the way Jacqueline has done this morning, puts it up on the screen and says, Alan teaches us that when we find a testimony, it becomes our testimony. So this is our testimony. So that testimony that you saw of Jackson, it becomes our testimony. And you can gossip that testimony around if you believe it. So up comes the screen, 4 minute shot of this lady giving testimony after the event of her hand. There's her hand on screen. And in the congregation of his church is a lady who's got a frozen thumb. It's been frozen for ages. And suddenly she jumps up, great excitement, and says, my thumb's operating again. It's completely released. It's working again. And not surprisingly, the church erupts in praise and joy. The church erupts in praise and joy. Yeah, it would have been better the first time, but that's okay. On the Monday, they take a team into one of the shopping centres. They have an opportunity to go in there because they're chaplains to this organisation. So they go in and this lady walks up to them and says, I think I'm supposed to come and see you. So David says, oh, okay, what's going on? So she's got her arm in a sling and she said, I've lost the use of my wrist. They did a carpal tunnel operation. Something's gone wrong and my wrist is floppy. I can't get any activity from it at all. So they've had to put it in a sling. So he said, well, we heard, and he gives the testimony. Now, how many of you know that the power of the testimony is the prophecy, right? That's what I just told Jackie. So Dave prays for this lady and suddenly her wrist starts to operate again. And she says, well, that's crazy because they said it wouldn't happen as quickly as that. See, there are healings happening around us, but they're not happening everywhere. Am I right? Do you want them? Yes, please. It's a good prayer. Yes, please. Do you want them? If you want them, how badly do you want them? Because you'll never see healing if you don't pray for healing. Jesus says, you will see greater things than I, but only if you become my voice. You are God's voice on earth. Did you know that? See, he could do it on his own, we know that. but he chooses to partner with us. He chooses to partner with us, with me. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. But God does. He died for you 2,000 years ago so you could have freedom. Not religion. Freedom. And we were talking about it last night. Freedom isn't license to do what you like. There's freedom within the responsibilities of what you do. But what does it look like when people express freedom? It becomes a very attractional model. People love freedom. So if I said to you, I want you to go and see some lions, okay? Where would you go to see some lions? Let's have a bit of interaction here. A zoo. Which zoo would you go to? Chester is your nearest zoo, is it? And you'd see some lions. What would you see when you got to Chester Zoo? A cage. Okay, you would see a lion in a cage. Where would be a better place to see a lion? A safari park. Which safari park is nearest here? Sorry? Bewdley. There we are. So if you go to Bewdley, what do you find? That you lose your aerial and your... windscreen wipers. You drive through, don't you? Is that the same sort of thing as we have down south? So you drive through Bewdley. What do you see? You see lions roaming around. Are they free? They're in an enclosure. Quite a big enclosure. But they will reach a fence, an electrified fence, and they will get a jab of electricity on their nose as they check out that fence. So they don't go near the fence again, right? That's what a safari park looks like. So it's freedom, and it looks like freedom, but it isn't really freedom. Do you see? And we do that. We put ourselves in a box, and we say, okay, we come to church on a Sunday, we go to our life group, we do this, we do that. But actually, is it truly freedom? Or are you creating a freedom that has some boundaries? Do you believe that God is infinite and eternal? Show of hands, please. Who believes? Once a teacher, always a teacher. Sorry. Who believes that God is infinite and eternal? So here's an interesting thing. We had it as a testimony this morning. It's this text, isn't it? If I can find it in my notes, which I've completely ignored. I will find it somewhere where it talks about. I've completely lost it. Here we are. Romans 12:2. What does it say? Oh, come on. You did it as a testimony this morning, the declaration. It's not as if I'm talking about what we did yesterday. Be transformed by what? The renewing of our minds. Be transformed by the renewing of our minds. You see, there's no limit to how much we can renew our mind. There is no limit to how much we can be transformed. It's not a stationary statement. It's a moving, dynamic statement. Being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's have a look at Ephesians 6:11-17. So most of you will be familiar with this portion of scripture. Ephesians, great book, written by Paul to the church in Ephesus. And he comes towards the end of his message, and he says this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Do you want to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. See, it's not an acquiescence. It's not a, okay, that's quite a good idea, Alan. I'm not here to give you any more than something to think about. Finally, says Paul, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. What did we just hear Luan talking about? Standing firm against the schemes of the devil. You see, he schemes against us. He doesn't come up and say, hi, I'm the devil. How are you doing? I want to tempt you. He doesn't do that, does he? He hides himself. And he'll try and talk you around. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of weakness, of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, what? Take up the full armor of God, so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. That's our job. We're supposed to be standing firm. But standing firm, having girded your loins, there's nothing like it, is there? Girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all that, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. See, I believe God has brought me up here today to remind you that the steps you are taking in kingdom activity is not unnoticed by the enemy. Now, you'll hear stories come out of Eastgate of all these amazing things, but I can tell you, because I am part of Eastgate, there are some tragedies in amongst. There's some awful things happening in amongst. We're a church of nearly 1,000 people. You wouldn't be surprised, would you, to know there are troubles. So what do? We battle against those influences. It's not a flesh and blood battle. See, I've been taught, put on the armor, and then put on the armor again, put on the armor again. Somehow, I got the idea I was supposed to take it off when I went to bed or something like that. Actually, what you do is you keep the armor on, don't you? Do you do that? Do you put the armor on and keep it on? You see, we are eternal spiritual beings who have a period of time here with a soul and a body. If you're born again here this morning, and welcome, who is it? This lady isn't. Welcome. You are so welcome. And I'm going to preach to you now. Because it's a battle. You've joined us in a battle that we get to win. But here's the fun part about it. We are connected to the Holy Spirit. So that's the perfect you. That's the spiritual connection you've made with him. And he makes you perfect in your spirit. You might have a body that's still doing what it does, and you have a soul that tries to battle against. But actually, why don't you get your spirit to command the rest of your body? It's a very important aspect of what we're trying to do here. So here's the Passion Translation. How many of you know the Passion Translation? It's not really a translation. It's something that's been written that is a transliteration, really, I suppose. But it does provide a useful version to help us understand what's going on. So I'm going to read it to you. So this is the same scripture. Now, my beloved ones, I've saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to read this. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Oh, I like that. Do you like that? Let me read it again. Be supernaturally infused. What's an infusion? Come on, guys. Where's the scientists amongst us? What's an infusion? If it's not 4 minutes, it's not an infusion. That's what I say to my wife. So tea is a good example of an infusion, right? Something that you put into a liquid and the liquid changes, doesn't it? So it's no longer hot water, it becomes tea. You are supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. You are supernaturally infused. Put on God's complete set of armor provided for us so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides, so you're protected as you confront the slanderer, for you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. Come on, it's got to cheer you up. I'm cheering myself up just reading this stuff. You are destined for all things and will rise victorious. Are you feeling like that this morning? And if most of you say yes, that'd be good. But there are a few of you in here that are not feeling like that, if I'm right, because I'm in a church and I'm with people who have different experiences, right? Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Put on holiness as the protective armor that covers your heart. Stand on your feet alert, then you'll always be ready to share the blessings of peace. Stand to your feet for a moment. Are you alert? Are you ready to share the blessings of peace? Turn to the person next to you and share a blessing of peace. This comes from my old days of being an Anglican. The peace of God rest upon you, my friend. Bless you. The blessings of peace. We have the power and the authority to do that. See, the message I think we'll sit down again by all means. The message I feel God is bringing for this congregation is we've all got gifts in various measure. Some will have the office of one gift and some will have the office of others. But we're all together. Do you know how a Roman army works? So they take small groups of people and they give them shields, big shields, wooden shields. They go to the river, they soak the shield in water. Why do they do that? Because it makes them heavy. Why do they soak it in water though, do you know? So when the flaming arrows come, and it's one of the most powerful strategies in those days, was to fire burning arrows into a village of straw, basically, straw and wood. So it was a pretty useful strategy. And also the arrow would kill you if it hit you. So they have these shields, right? Am I teaching you something you already know? So these shields are as big as the man. They hold them up, so they've got a little bit of their feet showing, and then the guys behind don't hold them in front of them. They hold them up above them. They rest them on the shield that's in front of you, and then the guys that are behind turn around and do exactly the same the other way. They create a shield. And although it sounds like a defensive strategy, it's not. Because their feet are able to move, they start to shift. That's who we are. That's who we are. We have to learn to protect each other. The worst thing about churches is when you hear the gossip. I go to a lot of churches. Most weeks I'm in different places. And I hear people talking about other people. And I go, that is really not helpful. Yeah, but you don't understand. Oh, I do understand. Because that's how the enemy gets in. And once the enemy's inside that, you're in trouble, aren't you? There's no protection from that now. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? It is so, so important in this day and age when we are stepping out from our churches that have been pastoral corrals out to the world. How many of you guys yesterday I'm going to challenge you. How many guys yesterday were praying for the 6 or 7 out there free hugging? And if you weren't, I challenge you. Why not? Because they need your protection and they also need the opportunity to meet people. That's what free hugging is. It's a spiritual connection that we make with the outside world. And as you heard, the news is it's good. We use it a lot, as you probably know. So we're beginning to believe that church leadership is about creating soil. It's not about telling you what to do. It's about showing you how you can think. And if you think straight, you start to get a connection with God and you can ask him. So we often get people that are new to our church coming up and saying, I've got this situation, what should I do? I say, have you talked to God about it? What? What do you mean? What do you think I should do? You're a pastor. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Have you talked to God about it? Well, no, I'm talking to you. Why is he doing that? Because he wants to get a connection with me, not the connection with God. It's, again, so important. Am I telling you stuff you already know? So we've got these active gifts running. So when I was praying for this meeting, I heard that we're all released to do something on a grand scale. Are you ready to do something on a grand scale? I had a picture this morning at our prayer time of walls crumbling down in Rugeley. Walls crumbling down. Walls that have been there for a long time. And the enemy will say, that wall's been there for a long time. There's no way you can pull that down. And then I saw this community of people all gathering together, just like that picture, and advancing towards that wall. And you'll carry a sledgehammer. You get to the wall and you all hit it with a sledgehammer. See, if one person hits a wall with a sledgehammer, you might knock a brick out, right? But if 50, 80, 100 people knock a brick out, that's 100 bricks in a few seconds, 200 bricks in 10 seconds. You know, you get the picture, don't you? It will break down. The walls are coming down in Rugeley. This is a place where freedom is going to be expressed and you're going to be on the map. And here's my question. Why not? Why not here? Why not now? Why not us? The enemy loves acquiescence. He loves it when you sit there and go, that's all right for you. You don't know my life. Oh yeah, he loves that. And he'll leave you alone because you've made yourself incapacitated. You will not win a battle if you don't pick up a sword. Am I right? Come on! Oh, I like the echo in here because it's a sports hall, isn't it? The thing is, you see, we're supposed to be looking out for one another. That Roman army formed of small groups. They're impenetrable. So relating that to our situation, here's the thought. We only see what we want to see, right? That's true. We only see what we want to see. We all have blind spots in our lives. They're called scotomas in psychology. We have scotomas where there's a crack in a window at home. You say, I must fix that. And then after a while, you forget, you don't notice it anymore. And somebody comes in and goes, you got a cracked window. And you go, oh yeah, I need to fix that. That's a scotoma. It's how it works in the physical. But the thing is, you see, you need people to look after you who see the blind spots in your spiritual life and can help you. You can only do that if you trust each other. Learning to trust. When I heard that the kids were going out to light fires, I came up to Richard and said, you know what, I think I'll go out and light some fires. So it sounds like a lot more fun. But here I am in here lighting fires. Do you feel that fire lighting up inside of you? Okay. Shall I just get a fire extinguisher out there? Do you feel something? Look, the presence of God is here. When people say to me, oh, I really felt the presence today. Well, actually, the presence is here all the time. It's a huge lie that we can't hear from him. All we've got to do is listen. Now, I don't want you to light your fire and then to just have it inside of you. You need to light other people's fires. That's part of the free hugging experience, is to say to people, there is more to life. There is more to life. Honestly, there is. But if you light a fire in an oil drum, it will never spread. The living fire spreads and it never burns out. So don't contain it. Once you've got it, start to give it away. The fire of God. Offer up sacrifices of praise with your lips in higher degrees than you're comfortable with. You've got an awesome worship group. Just two of them today. Do you realize that? You need to do what I do and go to other churches where they sing songs. You know, do you like this? Air guitar. Kumbaya. You know, it's not quite as bad as that, but sometimes it is. You're just singing songs. Are you ready to raise an hallelujah? You can't do that by sitting on your bottom. You can't. Hallelujah is something that comes up from within, doesn't it? Can you raise an hallelujah in this church? You will be unstoppable. Offer up sacrifices of praise with your lips. Make a decision that you will praise God in a more vocal, uninhibited way this year than ever before. Go on, make that commitment to yourself. And when you go on, when you go home, put some music on. Put some worship music on and go crazy and see what happens. It's not just about going crazy. Something happens. A transaction will happen. If you need help in praising God, play a recording by one of your favorite Christian artists and sing along, and you'll find something happens. Challenge yourself to learn how to raise your hands, how to get on your knees in worship, and even get flat on your face. You see, these things break down any walls of containment where you're keeping the fire in a small box. Allow the Holy Spirit to move. Now, anybody who does anything to do with worship will know what I'm talking about, but I'm talking to all of us, including myself. The Apostle Paul gives us a very pointed exhortation in 1 Thessalonians 5. He says this, "Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil." And then it says this, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it." But it demands that we get up and stop being so acquiescent about it. Raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. Raise a hallelujah louder than your unbelief. Raise a hallelujah. That weapon is a melody. It's not hard. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. It's not your battle. So what next? I just want to read you a little story. I used to be a head teacher and I have assemblies every day. And my favorite story, the bit of it anyway, is this one. It's a 1922 children's classic. It's called The Velveteen Rabbit. Anybody know it? Any teachers in the room? We'll all know The Velveteen Rabbit by Marjorie Williams. So this is about being wholehearted with everything, okay? It's this, listen. Real isn't how you're made, said the skin horse. It's a thing that happens to you when a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you. Then you become real. Does it hurt? Asked the rabbit. Sometimes, said the skin horse, for he was always truthful. When you're real, you don't mind being hurt. Does it happen all at once, like being wound up, he asked, or bit by bit? No, it doesn't happen all at once, said the skin horse. You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't often happen to people who break easily, or have sharp edges, or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you're real, most of your hair has been loved off, and your eyes have dropped out, and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you're real, you can't be ugly, except to people who don't understand. I want to encourage you, get to know each other better. Start to trust more. Go deeper into him and into the world that you're surrounded by. Stuff will start to happen, believe me. It already has. I'm here pushing on a momentum you've already got. Have you got your feet on the floor of that pool, that circular pool that I talked about, where we're going round and round, building momentum? So when people come into this place, they feel the momentum. Before you've said anything, that momentum that comes from knowing him and loving him. Are you ready to raise a hallelujah? Are you ready to raise a hallelujah? Not just a song, you see, there's something on that song. I've asked the guys to play it again. I think they're going to do it through. Are you able to do it, Matt? Great. So if you play that, and then we'll just have a time of ministry for a few minutes, and we'll call it a day. Is that all right? You good with that? But we're going to raise a hallelujah. Now, here's the thing. Please do not do golf club claps. Okay, you know what a golf club clap is? I want you to raise a hallelujah. I want you to get to your feet. I want you to be enthusiastic for what God will do this afternoon in your environments as you leave here. I want you to get excited about what will happen on Monday morning when you enter into your office or your school or your place of work. I want you to get excited about it, and things will change. I promise you. An unequivocal promise. If you walk into a place of work and you're different, people go, what happened to you? And then you'll be able to tell them. It was Alan from Eastgate. Anyway, come on, let's play it on. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.